special request song coming up. Y'all help me out on this.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Amen. May I have a cup of ushers, please?
Lord, come to your house, Lord, tonight, and just thank you for what you've given us, Lord, and just be with Brother Marco as he brings the word to us, Lord, and apply it to our hearts to be more like you, Lord. Lord, again, be with Pastor Lee and Stephanie as they're in their travels, Lord, and be with this congregation, Lord, and have their ears and hearts open to the word, Lord, and so we could grow, Lord, closer to you. Lord, with those who aren't here tonight, we miss them and love them. We pray this in holy, precious name, and bless this. Bless this offering towards your work. We praise your name. Amen.
No, sir. Thank you. Well, good evening. I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you this evening. Thank you for coming out tonight. Let's see. All right, we're going to be in Psalms 103 this evening. Kind of where we're going to get to, that's where the starting point is. Psalms 103. If you have my Bible, that's page 503. I don't know, nobody, I've only found one person so far that I have the same Bible with. I've had this Bible for, this one in particular, for 10 years now. I got it for Father's Day 10 years ago, so it's been my ride for the last 10 years, but I've about wore it out. It's almost time to move to another one, I think, pages to keep coming out of her, which I guess that's a good thing. Psalms 103, we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read Psalms 103, verse 1 through verse 6. If you would like to stand with me, if you can. For the reading of God's Word, Psalms 103, verse 6. All right. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All my innermost being, praise his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desire with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord's work is righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. If you'll join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this time we can come together in your name. We pray, Lord, that we would bless you with all of our soul. We pray, Lord, that all that we say and all that we do would bring you honor and bring you glory. We pray, Father, for those who are with us this evening. We pray for those who could not make it. And We pray for your church body. We pray for your people. We lift them up to you. We pray that you would speak to their heart and to their mind. We pray, Lord, whatever battle they face, Lord, that they know that you're with them. We pray for the choir coming up as they have prepared this message for Easter. We pray for their voices and we pray for their timing. We lift them up to you, Father. We know that you will be honored and you will be glorified. We thank you for your written word that we read here tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would graft it to our soul. We ask all this in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Christ. Amen. All right, Psalms 103. I did ask John to, if we could sing 10,000 Reasons tonight. That's kind of one of those worship songs. I say it's one of the most popular worship songs ever, is that particular song right there. I was reading, just to see how many times it was downloaded on YouTube. One I had was over 36 million times in one site, 12 million on another, and it just kind of kept going on. It's really one of those songs that I feel it really touches your heart. And then you can really understand why, especially when you read Psalms 103. Psalms 103 has 22 verses. I won't be able to cover them all tonight. I think that'd be one long message if we went through every one of them. So I really just want to kind of highlight a few of them and see how we can apply it to our lives and to our Christian walk and our relationship with God. As we look at bless the Lord, to bless the Lord is to delight him in genuine, heartfelt praise and thanksgiving. Bless the Lord. In my younger Christian walk, that was challenging for me to think, like, how can I bless the Lord? He's the one that does the blessings, right? How can I bless him? But I see as I get older, we can bless the Lord, and we'll kind of look at that tonight. Then it says, all that is within me. And when I look at all that is in me, it's all my emotion, all my will, and all of my understanding. Should be to bless the Lord. The psalmist David said that it's about God's love for us, and what does God tell us is what he's really like, and we get that from his word, how much he loves us. I want to look at kind of four questions tonight that I want to ask you, but I'm gonna answer some of those questions, even though I'll ask you those questions. One is, who should bless the Lord? When we think about that psalm and verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. What aspect of my life should bless the Lord? And why should I bless God's name? As we read in that verse and we heard in that song tonight, why should I do that? And when does that start? What age can you say is the age that you should start blessing the Lord? So those are kind of four things we're going to look at, and hopefully over tonight's message. Who should bless the Lord? Who do you think, like, in your daily walk, who do you believe should bless the Lord? Any ideas out there? Everybody. I think you're exactly right. And unfortunately, in our culture, though, we don't see this. Your soul is your first audience to which you speak. Anybody here talk to themselves? So we only got a few people who would actually admit this, right? I do talk to myself. I'm like John. I have a full conversation with myself. You know, it's when you start yelling at yourself that there's issues. Talking to yourself is fine, right? You start yelling at yourself, then we have issues. But you know, you are your best audience, right? You're your best audience. You're your most honest audience as well. You're also your soul's most important audience as well. You can't lie to yourself. I mean, yeah, we kind of tell ourselves lies, but deep down, we really can't lie to ourselves. We may fool ourselves for a little while, but we really can't lie to ourselves. You tell yourself the truth. Sometimes we may deny the truth, but ultimately, we do tell ourselves the truth. So when you say, bless the Lord, O my soul, it is, if your heart means what your words say you are doing, is kind of what we're looking at. The psalmist, which David wrote this psalm, the Lord blessed because he's been blessed. That's why David blessed the Lord, is because he has been blessed. I was thinking tonight, you cannot be I think you can't be a great choir leader if you don't know music. No one would ever ask me to lead the choir. That would not be good. If I did, everyone would leave. Yeah, that's not good. No. You really can't become a great painter unless you really know how to paint. And I believe I've painted my whole life. My dad is a house painter. I've always been around paint, but I've always liked painting. And it's really kind of something that kind of comes from the soul. Painters, people in the arts, they can really kind of feel it, I think, connected with the soul. You cannot play hockey unless you can ice skate. I proved this a few weeks ago. We took our kids ice skating. That is not something that you can pretend you can do. Right? You cannot bluff your way. You cannot lie to yourself, because as soon as you step out on that ice, everybody knows if you can skate or not. Because if you're like me, you stepped out and you're just kind of wiggling your way through on down. And I will admit, me and the ice got very comfortable together. I did fall one time, but I think I fell with grace. A couple years ago, I fell on a skateboard and almost broke my wrist, right? And so I thought, okay, that all flashed in my mind, the 2.5 seconds it took me to get up and down. So I thought, well, this time I'm not going to try to stop. I'm just going to lay out. And so I laid out on the ice, and this little kid, probably about Lily's age, he comes skating by me, and he went backwards, and he looked at me, and he's like, sir, are you okay? I'm like, yeah. And then he turned back around, and he just kept going. I'm like, you're a show-off. Yeah. Oh, right, yeah. I laid there for a second and contemplated the cosmos and all this. But you can't play hockey unless you can skate. You know what? And you can't bless the Lord until you know how and where God has truly blessed you. It's kind of like one of those interesting things about salvation. Sometimes you really can't appreciate it until you really understand what God has rescued you from. And why bless God? As our verse said here, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Man, that's a reason to bless him. Did I lose it? There we go. I felt like I lost it. That is a reason to bless him. You can bless God because you've been cleansed by the blood of Christ, who healeth all thy diseases. You can bless God for good health, who redeemeth from the life of destruction, one who crowns with loving kindness and compassion. I tell you can bless God because he does protect you from harm. We're talking about that right before the service. If we could really kind of see all the things that God has protected us from and blessed us with. Brother James was saying that he dreams in color, which I thought that was pretty cool. I never thought about if I dream in black and white or color. Now I'm going to have to try to take notes the next time I wake up from a dream to see if it was in color. I don't know. When we bless God, we are giving back to him what he deserves, worship. Worship is what he is due, and we honor him with that. And so we think, what part of my life should bless the Lord? And as Christians, we really have a lot of different things going on. So what part should bless the Lord? When you say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, I must bless the Lord with every part of my being, all that is in me. A lot of times in youth, we share Mark 12:30. It's really one of my favorite verses. It's kind of like a foundation verse. I think when you're teaching anybody about the Bible, or you're teaching anybody about the Christian walk, and it says this, the Bible says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So I'd say that my lips, the words that I say, should bless the Lord. My speech, the way I talk, should bless the Lord. Let no evil thing come from my lips. All that I say should praise him with my mouth. Even the way I talk to other people. Even the way I order my food. The way I talk to my kids. The way I treat other people should bless the Lord. My eyes should bless the Lord. Let no evil come out. May I look upon no evil. In today's society, that's a very difficult thing to do, especially if you have one of these. If you're on the internet or if you have email or text, sometimes people send you things that they find funny. Unfortunately, some are Christians and some are not Christian. But the things that come across here sometimes, I'm like, whoa, why did you send me that? Why did you try to delete it? So sometimes we cannot help it. May our eyes always lift and look up toward heaven. May we always praise him with the things that we see. And sometimes that is very self, I guess you could say, accountable. When you're at home, when you're in the privacy of your own home, that's kind of where your self-accountability is really to hold. So we bless the Lord with all that we see. I want to bless the Lord with my feelings. Let no evil or rebellion come out of me. My emotions should always express a love, a passion, and a goodness to the depth of the heart of God. So may we always bless the Lord with our emotions and our feelings. Sometimes that's pretty challenging to do, right? Especially if you have three kids. Sometimes I don't think I'm blessing the Lord when I'm getting on to them. But then I remember the Bible says, don't spare the rod, right? Don't spare the rod. So I feel like I'm okay on that one. My mind should bless the Lord. Do not think upon wickedness or evil. May I bless the Lord with my memory and my reasonings, my insight and my logic and my rationality. When you look at today's society or today's culture, you can turn on the news and see that many people are not blessing the Lord with their logic, especially when you see laws that have been passed here recently. That is not blessing the Lord. When you see a group of people praising death, it's not. I like what the Bible says in Philippians 4:7. It says, and the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We think about our emotions and the things that we think about. 2 Corinthians says this, cast down imaginations on every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If we could fulfill that scripture, we would truly bless the Lord with all that we think about, all that we look and all that we see and all that we talk about, if we live everything to the obedience of Christ. Let my intellect always bless the Lord. If you work with a lot of kids like we do at New Hope, from little bitties to own-up teenagers who already think they know everything and they don't need to school, that's a challenging thing. They throw a lot of different things at you, and even them themselves have a lot of things thrown at them. I do bring up this verse a lot, to keep everything in captivity to Christ. May my very nature bless the Lord. Never choose to sin. Always decide to be on God's side. Always decide to make him first. And may my will be his will. As you meet different people, especially I think in the world out there, we all kind of have a different nature and maybe a different countenance about ourselves. Oftentimes I'm told that I speak softly. And I'm soft-spoken. And exactly. Right? You should speak louder. I got to be honest with you. I really don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I try, and I'll get it up there a little bit, but then I kind of go back to my natural countenance, which is not that. Have you ever heard try to tell a loud person to speak softly? It doesn't happen either, right? Because then, I mean, they just get louder. They actually, I feel like, get louder when you tell them to speak softly. But that's your countenance. That's just kind of the way God made you to be. Oftentimes, I do wish that maybe I was more yelling and fire and brimstone, but then that wouldn't be who God created me to be. So I just have to go the way he made me and pray that I talk loud enough for you, or if worst thing, pray that you at least get the Bible verse out of that and you can read it. I pray that I always pray like Christ. That I pray that I have the mind of Christ. I see others the way Jesus sees them. I love them the way Jesus loves them. That I would be the hands and the feet of Christ. And through that, that is the nature of Christ. And I pray through that way, we would bless the Lord that we would become more like Christ. May my spirit always bless the Lord. May my spirit never get discouraged. May it never get downcast. A lot of times we put on the smile, the face, that everything is great and everything is wonderful. In Sunday school this morning, I went over to my neighbors that live down the street, and all of a sudden he just starts, I've met him a few times, but we're really friends. We're really kind of like street acquaintances, you know. You see somebody lives on the end of the street, you just wave. And all of a sudden, he really just started talking to me about some very kind of, I felt, personal stuff. A lot of the other people who were around there were really his friends. I'm really just kind of an acquaintance who lives at the other end of the road. But after that, he thanked me. I didn't really do anything. I just stood there. But he got to tell me a lot of stuff that was bothering him, a lot of issues that he was having. And I think if you're the kind of person that has that Spirit of God about you, when people are in trouble and people are in jeopardy with their spirit and with their soul, they can come talk to you. I pray it's because they know that you are a man of God, and you can lift them up. And it's not by your power, but it's the power that comes through you. Your relationship with Christ really feeds off to other people. And I think that is being the hands and feet of Jesus. Is when people see this spirit in you, and they want what you have. And sometimes, unfortunately, we don't recognize it ourselves, maybe when we're around people, that people are watching us, and they really need help out there. So may your spirit always bless the Lord. May my body always bless the Lord. May we never sin. That would be awesome if we never had to worry about that once we became Christians. That would be fantastic. May we never sin with this physical frame that God has given us. The way it moves, the way it reacts, with our strength or with our weakness. I know not too long ago, the kids, especially teenage boys, if you've been around them, they like to test you physically. Right? Especially as they start growing up and they get about the same height as you are, then they kind of start blowing out this chest thing, and they want to see how strong they are. One of them asked me, he's like, arm wrestle me, Mr. Mark. I was like, no, I can't arm wrestle you. I might hurt you. It won't be good. But one day I was coming around the corner, and one act like he was going to hit me, you know, like the little shadow punch. And I have this thing. I tell them it's either fight or flight, and I really don't run. And he was like, what? I said, well, because as he did this, it's like a reaction. You guys know, if somebody goes to punch you, you kind of have like a defensive reaction. I almost hit him. Luckily, I stopped, but his eyes got real big, and he's like, would you have hit me? I said, well, my brain took like 2 seconds to realize that you were a kid, and then, yes, I stopped. But we should always think about our physical nature and our physical being and our body and how it moves and how it reacts. But sometimes it's like it just kind of has a, I don't know, it's like a self-defense mechanism that you really can't stop, it seems like. So it's a strange thing. After that, he said he was never going to try to do that again. I was like, yes, because next time, I mean, it might be a slow day for me. I don't know. I may not have my 10 cups of coffee, so I might not be edgy. I'm not sure. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it says, you were bought with a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. I use this verse a lot. Oftentimes I have a lot of people ask me questions about whether they should do certain things. And is this written in the Bible? Is this written in the Bible? Is this written in the Bible? I said, well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:20. You were bought with a price, honor God with your body. I think that answers a lot of those questions. And then sometimes they're like, yeah, but... I'll stop right there. No, yeah, but honor God with our bodies. May all that we have, a physical frame, a form, may that bless the Lord. May my eternal soul bless the Lord. May my interests and bless the Lord. Our interests, I think if we look in this room here tonight in this congregation, we have interests probably all over the place. Some people are interested in music. Some are interested in building things. Some are interested in, I like baseball, some are interested in baseball. So we went around to each person. We will all probably have a little bit different main interest that we like. Some would probably be the same, but some are greater than others in other things. I would probably think that Ms. Terry really loves animals. Really loves animals. I mean, if your business is animals, it probably started somewhere, right? That you just really love animals, want to take care of them. Some probably couldn't take care of a goldfish. Unfortunately, a few fish have met its demise in my care. I'll repent of that, but I think I passed that on to my daughter. She's responsible for at least one. In Philippians 4:8, the Bible says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on those things." And so when we think about blessing the Lord, that is like a fantastic list right there that we should probably put to memory, maybe read every day. Do I think on these things to bless the Lord with? And that kind of goes into the next one. It says, "Bless the Lord with my energies." And that's your enthusiasms, your convictions, your sensitivity toward things, and your impulses. Sometimes my impulses, especially reactionary impulses, may not. But your entire thought life. I don't know about you, but when I talk to myself sometimes, I think I'm myself's worst critic. I give myself a hard time. Whether I'm looking in the mirror, or whether I'm driving, whether I forget something. I know the other night I was up reading and I was studying, and I was asked to move the wash clothes to the dryer. And I was like, "Yeah, no problem, I got it." And got to read and got to study, and I think it was one, went to bed, got up the next day, and it's like, "Did you move that stuff?" And I was like, "Oh, no, no." And I got to be honest with you, once I started doing what I was doing, what I was focused on, I didn't even think about it. It's like it completely left my mind. And so the next night, she asked me to do the same thing, and so I set an alarm on my phone. Like at 10:30, I set an alarm. And I got to be honest with you, when it first went off at 10:30, I'm like, "What am I thinking? Why did I set an alarm at 10:30? And then I realized, I put a little note on there, 10:30, laundry. I'm like, "That's why. Okay, all right, I got that." But it was so funny that I even forgot what I set the alarm for, because I got so focused on what I was doing and so focused on this narrow thing that I was working on, that everything else I just kind of pushed away. And we can do that with a number of things. We can do that with our hobbies, with our interests, and we can get so focused on this that we can even push away the things of God, because we get busy and so many irons in the fire. So we should bless the Lord with all of our energies that we do. And when you look at the next one, it says, "Why should I bless God's name?" I think it was last month's verse in school, we were using Isaiah 9:6 as part of the monthly verse. And in there it says some of the names of God, and it's Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God and Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. Through these names, and I have a book right now, and it's one book, and this book, it only has 70 names of God, and it's a pretty awesome book. It kind of goes through every name, and it explains that name. And so sometimes I talk to the kids, like, "What does that mean, that he's the Wonderful Counselor?" And if you need a counselor, you know exactly what that means. What does it mean that he's the Everlasting Father? When you're looking for that Father in your life, and then God really steps in and you see him, then you know exactly what that means. In researching this, I found this guy who wrote a book, and one of them, he came up with 700 different names for Jesus, 125 different names for God, and 125 different names for the Holy Spirit. And I was like, "Wow, that's a long name list when you really go through every one of them." And I think for some of you here tonight, you probably have certain names that you call God, and certain names that you refer to Christ, and certain names that you refer to the Holy Spirit, depending on what your walk is at that moment in time. And we may ask, like, why is there so many names? But if we look at each different name, it has a different application of God. I think about my names and the different titles that come with that. One would be pastor or preacher. I get, hey, pastor, hey, preacher. I'm like, all right, just call me Brother Marco. That's really fine. Or just Marco. It's good. Another one is that when I'm at school, I'm their teacher. Right? I've also been in sales, so I was a sales rep for a lot of years. But I've also been a baseball umpire, and I got called some names then too. You know, I think it's part of the sport. I don't know what it is, but I've also been a baseball coach, so the kids have called me coach. When I was in high school, I was a grocery sacker. I worked at Klein's, and our titles were sackers. For those of you who remember Klein's and shop there, the grocery sackers, right? So I was probably one of those little kids who were carrying your groceries out, and if I smushed your bread, I apologize. But I'm also a husband and a father and a brother and an uncle. And to my dad, I'm his son. So each one of those carries a different name and a different title, but with each one of those names, it also carries a different action and a different responsibility with each one of those. Being a son is different than being a husband. I mean, would you agree? It's totally different, even though I'm the same person, totally different reaction. Being a sacker is different than being a baseball umpire. I think when I umpired baseball, they said any game you will probably make 238 decisions in one baseball game as the home plate umpire. 237 of those will not be appreciated or liked, right? Because one or the other team, I mean, they won't like what you said either way. So when we look at God's name, I think first of all, we must honor God that he is creator, God the creator. And that one of the verses I've been really kind of reading here lately has been in Genesis. And I often ask the kids, like, what do you think is the most important verse in the Bible? They get a lot of good verses. I mean, a lot of, like, great verses that they know and that they read. And I always go back to this one. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created it. It all started with him. It was all by him. Everything. It says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I tell them, one truth will expose a thousand lies. And that's the word of God. It'll expose everything. So we love God, I think, because he created food. I mean, that's a pretty awesome thing to love God about, right? I know I appreciate it every day. He gives us our strength, our enjoyment. He feeds us, he provides for us, and he protects us. So you could look at, we should bless his name as Jehovah, for he is the Lord. And he's a relational God, that we can have a real relationship with a living Lord. He is self-existing, and he is the one that really looks after us. Even in times of difficulty, in times of stress, in times of sorrow, he is there. I love the verse when it says he is on your right side, and he walks beside you, and he walks in front of you. And I think that every time I go through something, that God has already been there. He's there before I get there. And he has prepared me way back here. So when I would meet that conflict or that struggle, God is the creator of all things. He's in control of all things. We bless the Lord because he is the shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. He is the one who guides us through the dark valley. He is the one who guides us through the dangerous cliffs, on the mountaintops of spiritual blessings. And he guides us through the valley of sometimes when we feel like we're in this spiritual warfare. Oftentimes, I feel like here, probably the last 10 years, it seems like a place that I reside is this spiritual warfare place where, I don't know, just a lot of things just kind of seem like they just keep happening. And there's the mountaintop experience, and then there's like the struggle experience where you can actually feel, I don't know if it's the culture or just where we're at, but you can really like feel you're pressing against the flow. Have any of you ever been to the river and floated the river on an inner tube? You floated the river on an inner tube? Or if you've been to the wave pool or something like that, and you try to stand there against the water, and you can really feel its pressure and its force coming against you, and you really have to struggle and push your way through. And today's culture, today's society, it really seems like as Christians, that's where we're at, as we're trying to cross the river. And if we let go, And if we don't stick close to God's word, it seems like it would easily just kind of just cast you on and you would go off. And that's why when we come here tonight and we gather together and we kind of shore up and team up, a lot of times when we floated the river, it was easier, it seemed like, when we'd hang on to each other's tubes and kind of go down like this little inner tube train down the flow. Plus, it was a lot of fun. We should bless the Lord because He is Almighty. And I love this name here. It says that He is the El Shaddai. And there's a song out there, and it's not played very often, and it is El Shaddai, who is our mighty God and who does truly care for us. In Genesis 17:1, there's this verse, and it says, "When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you.'" And I think about that. That's what God has done for us. He's really established a covenant between us and Him. That if we believe in Christ and accept Him as Savior, we become citizens of His kingdom. And that is a covenant between Him and us. That is a promise that He has given us, this covenant. So we bless His holy name as Father, because when we do that, we become children of God, and He is our Father. And He teaches us, and He provides for us, and He guides us. And I think of dads, and I think of grandpas on that when they guide their children. I was talking to a parent the other day, and there's a difference between moms and dads. And moms see kind of kids walking towards something, and they stop them immediately. Like, "Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. You'll get hurt." Dad's like, "No, no, no, wait. Like, let's watch him." And they'll fall, right? And then they wait kind of for them either to pick themselves back up, not to let them get hurt. But I think for dads, sometimes there's like a teaching moment in that. Like, all right, he'll only do that once. You watch. I bet next time he goes to that step, and if he rolls off of it, he won't do it the next time. And sure enough, you'll see him. He'll come up to it, and there's like a difference now. It's like, hold up. They knew that something had happened, and they had just learned something. Don't get too close to the step, or you'll fall. Just as we were coming here earlier this evening, I was looking, and they'd said that the amount of people who have fallen off of the Grand Canyon, like the numbers are really high. Yeah, it was like, you think, man, that's a pretty big place. How can you fall off? But I know when I went to the Grand Canyon, I wanted to get as close as I could to the edge, right? And I wanted to try and like look and how far down it is. And if you're afraid of heights, the closer you are to the further away you are from the edge, it's just fine. You can see out there. And I was amazed about how many people have fallen off to the canyon. And unfortunately, we treat sin the same way. We try to see how close we can get to it, look over it, and maybe not get into it, but we just want to see how close we can get to it before we fall off the edge. And so we bless His holy name because He is the Redeemer. Jesus has redeemed us from sin, and He has been forgiven by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Jesus, we have been redeemed. We bless His holy name for our salvation. So if you've accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have been redeemed. And I think that is a wonderful reason why we should bless the Lord and why we should tell everybody about this redemption and about what He has offered and what we have. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to His riches and His grace." And then Romans 9:10 says, "If you should confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved and you are redeemed." Amen. Then you ask, what age should we bless the Lord? What age should that be? I would say that if you look at it, let young men with their strength and ambition bless the Lord. Let young girls with their charm and their virtue and their innocence bless the Lord. Let children with their laughter and their curiosity and effervescence. Let middle-aged men who are striving to make their mark bless the Lord. Let older women who understand all the ways of life and who have served the Lord all of their life bless the Lord. Let older men who are wise and long-suffering bless the Lord. Let everything that has breath in it bless the Lord. So I would say if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you could do that now. You could do that today. Don't delay it. Don't put it off. Call on him tonight. Call on him right now and bless the Lord. A couple more verses and then I'll let you out of here. In 1 John it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. That if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is God's promise to you that if you accept Christ, he will accept you. So Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that easy. It's that simple. God loves you. So remember, to bless the Lord is to delight in him with genuine, heartfelt praise, with all of your emotions, with all of your will, and with all of your understanding. We'll close out in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this time that we have together. We do pray, Lord, that you would forgive us of where we fail you. You would forgive us, Father, when we say things and do things that are not pleasing to you. We pray, Lord, that we would have a hunger for your word and for your will and for your way in our lives. We pray, Father, that all that we say, all that we do, all that we are, would truly bless you. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to see people as Christ saw them. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to love as Jesus loved. We pray, Lord, that you would help us be the hands and feet of Christ here on this earth. We pray, Father, for each person here, for their families, for those who couldn't be here, for Pastor Steve and Miss Stephanie. We lift them up to you. We pray, Father, that if there be one that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that this moment would be the moment of their salvation. We pray for our friends and our family members and our acquaintances who do not know you. We pray for those times that you have ordained that we would be a witness for you in this world. Give them a boldness. Give them the words. Lord, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for the Redeemer. We thank you for the blood, for the cleansing. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins. We ask all this in the name of Christ and by the blood of Jesus. Amen. All right, if anybody would like to come down and pray, the altars are open. If not, then you are dismissed. God bless you. Thank you for coming out tonight and listening to the... Yes, sir?